All right. I didn't know if anybody else was going to get up and leave or not. Kind of wondered about it. Kind of looked at the crowd and I thought, boy, there go most of them down yonder, right? Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm going to come a little bit different this morning. Something I hardly ever do. I'm going to ask for your help in something this morning. Anybody think they could do that? If I just personally ask for your help. We've been sapped out a little bit this week. You know, the volcanoes and the school shootings and the airplane crash down out of this country, but it still killed a bunch of people and all these things. And plus, the royal wedding kind of got me down. You know, you get sapped out a little bit. And you know, I came up this morning and I was going through and turned the lights on and getting ready for church. And I thought about all these things the past week and the things that's going on in church and things that's happening. And you know, I had a thought about it. I thought, well, why don't I just turn loose and let God handle it? Just turn loose and let God have control. Anybody ever thought about that? That's how I'm standing here today. I'm going to turn loose because most of that stuff I can't control anyway. Had no part in it. May not ever have a part in it other than I'm going to pray for the folks. And so I'm just going to turn loose this morning and let God control. And I'm going to ask y'all to do the same thing. You want to have a good church meeting? Put your troubles and sorrows and sadness aside. You know, we're in a world of disappointments. I don't know why we're surprised when it happens. Are y'all? You know, I don't know why we should ever be surprised. So I think I'll just turn loose this morning and let God take control of this. And you know, when I say that, it's an easy thing for you to sit there and say, okay, I'm going to do it. It took some prayer time for me, you know, because I had to put that thing aside, the stuff that bothered me and stuff on my mind. And I had to put it aside before I could truly let God take control. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. I'm asking you to do what you say. Put it aside. Let God take control. Turn loose. You know, whatever it is. And y'all may all be in the best mood I've ever been in the world. Nothing bothering you. I don't know, but I think God showed me that we need an opportunity that we can let God control this church meeting today. Not me, not you, but through our efforts to turn loose and let God take control. How many of you got something you'd like to turn loose this morning? Anybody? Anybody? Raise your hand up. I wouldn't be ashamed if you got something that you'd really like to turn loose of this morning. Something that maybe just don't sit real well with you. You know, y'all ever had any of those things? Just don't really sit well with you. Well, we can let those go. We'll turn loose and we'll let God take control. All y'all that raised your hand, y'all be very much in prayer. I believe God will control this service from this point forward. I believe he will. Some verses of scripture I want to share with you this morning. Illustrations of what we need to do as a church. I've thought about this a lot through the week and I see a lot of things happening. I want to tell you there is protection in the church. I believe that. I believe being faithful to the house of God and being a child of God, there is protection in it. I believe that with all my heart. Now, we see what's going on in our world, and we want to keep that out of our church. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. If you'll look at 1 Samuel chapter 8, we're going to talk just a few minutes about Scripture. And I want you to understand, I want you to be with me today that you can turn loose, let go, let God take control of whatever it is in your life. That's where we need to be, God in control. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1, and it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now, the name of the first was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Now, I want you to see the situation. You know, we had been in this situation, and Samuel had been the ruler or in charge of Israel for a certain time. And as he got older, things began to change. You know, I see that happening in our church today, that seems like when we get older, things begin to change. You know, it comes a different demand and a different situation most all the time. And here we start looking about his sons walk not in his ways. In other words, I guess the older folks had failed to teach them either that or they were intent on doing it their way. You know, a lot of times we get into our way. Our way is not God's way. I just want to be very plain in that. Our way is not always God's way. That's just what it is. His ways are higher than ours and greater than ours, and He's got plans for each and every one of us. So when we start looking at these judges, these sons of Samuel, and they were not just, they were taking bribes and perverted judgment, they're doing what pleased them, not what pleased God. So here comes a situation they find herself in, and in verse 4, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah. And he said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in the ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Here comes the desire to be like everybody else. If you come in here to be like everybody else this morning, you've made a mistake. I'm going to tell you, we're not the world. We're not to be like the world. We're not to be dominated by worldly thoughts and worldly action. But we're children of God, and we should stand up and say, I'm a child of God, and I'm not going to follow that way. I look through this crowd, and I can tell you that everybody here don't have the best. Everybody here don't have the most. Amen? Because I know people got more than y'all have. And better than y'all have. But I'm telling you, as a Christian, we need to make the best of what we have. And the most of what we have. Regardless of what your part and your lot is. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't like this, I don't like that. I want to preach this to you, that church is not always about an individual. It's about a group of people made up, the body of Christ. Different people, but it's still the body of Christ. So we come down to this point, you find that the children of Israel said, we want to be like everybody else. We want to be like all other nations. They've got a problem. If you want to be like everybody else, and if you want to be like the world, you're probably in the wrong place in this church, because we're not going to do that. It's not going to happen. And so we come down to that point, and I think about that. We need to make the best of what we have, right? Everything's not perfect. Y'all ever been to a perfect church? Anybody here ever been to a perfect church? If you have, when you got there, you probably spoiled it. Amen, because we're not perfect people, are we? That's just plain, I know how to tell it. We're not perfect people. And I got thinking about ships, you know, they're on the water. You know, ships are made to be on water. But if you get the water in the ship, it's going to sink. And so be the church. The church is in the world, but if you get the world and that domination factor in the church, it'll sink also. And so we have to be very careful about how we conduct ourselves and how we are obedient to the Word of God, about what we're going to be and what we're going to say. We're going to be a Bible preaching, teaching, believing church. That's what we're going to be. It's not going to be a church with no problems. It's not going to be a church that everything's perfect, because I don't know any, but it's going to be a church that worships and praises God above all other things. That's what we're here to do today. And so here we come in, you know, all these elders of Israel said, just make us a king. Just let somebody be here to rule us. And that's not God's plan. And so they don't care. They want to go against God's plan. Said, let us be like all the other nations. Christians can't be like the world. You just can't do it. If your thoughts and your actions are dominated by the world, you've got a problem. Our thoughts and actions need dominated by God. And following His will and His way in the church service. When Israel came down and said, just make us like everybody else. That probably just irked God out. You know what? I've thought a lot about that. His chosen people said, we want to be like everybody else. They didn't want to be a child of God. They're refusing being a child of God. They're choosing to be like everybody else in the nation and the world. Well, we've got to make a choice. God says we are a peculiar people. If you're not peculiar, check up on your salvation, because God changes things in life that don't seem right anymore. Things of the world are old and passed away. They're making their choice. Samuel's going to consult with God, and he's going to tell them what's going to happen. And I want you to see some of the things that takes place in this passage. Down in verse 10, and Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked him of a king. Now, that verse gives us an understanding that they knew exactly what they were doing. They weren't in the dark about this thing. They weren't just guessing about it. But he said he told them all the words of the Lord said unto the people that asked him for a king. And so they had God's word. They had the word of God. And as he was telling them, you know, I'm sure some of them smirked, some of them said, well, we're not going to listen. But I'm going to tell you, it's beneficial to us as God's children today to listen to his word. When God sends a message in, we need to receive it. We need to be obedient to it. And so here they are, you know, he told them. And verse 11, and he said, this will be the banner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and be of his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. So he begins warning them. He said, this is what's going to happen with this king. He said, you're wanting a king, you're wanting to be like everybody else, and this is what's taking place. You know, I just don't want to be like the world anymore. You know, I like the thought that by the protecting hand of God, I can separate myself from that ungodliness and sinfulness that goes on all around us. It said, and he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. He will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And so it's all about this king. He tells them what he's going to do. He said, you're going to get a king, but you're not going to like it. If you've got a king in the world, you're not going to like it. Sooner or later, it'll come around and won't be good. And in verse 15, he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. Not to them, but to his officers and his servants. Now, if God warned us of something like that, I think we could be well to listen and save a lot of problems in the long run. But they're going to continue on. I want you to see. They're warned from God. They're told exactly what will happen if they get to be like all other nations. You as a Christian, if you get to be like the world, you got trouble. You got a big problem. We're not of that world. And he shall cry out in that, and you shall cry out in that day, because your king, which you shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. And so, you know, I preached here Wednesday night about who God hears and who God don't hear. Here's another instance. You know, he said, if you do this and go against what God's counsel and God's word, he said, he's not going to hear you in a day of trouble. Praise God, you get yourself in it, you're in it. You'll be in it by yourself. God's not going to hear you in that day. You know, some people say, well, I think God hears all. It says here, what did it say? He said, the Lord will not hear you in that day, because you went against his counsel, you went against his word, against his thought. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. Sound like kind of a world I hear today. Oh, I know it's not good. I know it's bad. But we're going to take it because everybody else does. Just because everybody else does, you don't have to. We're the church. We're the body of Christ at New Salem Baptist Church. We're here to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. We're here to let God take control and be in charge not only of this church, but all of our individual lives. When I said I need help a few minutes ago, that includes everybody. You're not here just as spectators. You're not here just as a number on the board. But you're here that if you could truly turn loose and let God control your part of this service and your part of this church meeting, I'm telling you, it gets better all the time. I've been in some real good, strong, high-powered church meetings, haven't y'all? And y'all are sitting there like you're saying, well, I don't know. Wake up! Everybody awake? Anybody hear me? You know, a lot of times I think I just waste my time. I'm serious. Y'all ever felt that way? You just waste your time. That's a sad way to be, isn't it? That you just wasted time. The only thing I got going against that, God says the word will not come back void. But wherefore he sends it, it will accomplish therewith what he sent it for. So I didn't waste my time. You may waste yours, but God will accomplish what he wants to in your life, in my life, in this church. We need to wake up. We need to see what's going on in the world around us. We need to be, you know, it's so obvious, I don't know how you could miss it. I felt so bad about the church shooting. You know, it brought tears to think that That's 10 people went up to church that day, unsuspecting, unknowing, and didn't leave alive. You know, that upsets me. It puts me in a mood that I guess I need to preach more about salvation, God's salvation, but I also need to preach more about life, that every day we enjoy it to the fullest. I got thinking about those children, supposedly 8 of them, and I thought, what kind of plans do they have for tomorrow and next week and next month that they'll never fulfill? We need to live life to the fullest. Had an older gentleman tell me one time, he said, the Word of God's good in life and the Word of God's good in death. So we need it both ways. It goes a little bit more, and they give the answer. It said that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. They want to be like everybody else. They want to be like all the nations. They don't want to be the children of God. God had done a pretty good job for them. He had fought the battles for them. He had brought them out of the wilderness. He had brought them out of slavery, out of bondage. But they weren't pleased with that anymore. They said, no, we want a king. And what they did, they really rejected God. You know, Samuel got upset about it. And God told him, he said, they hadn't rejected you. He said, they rejected me. That's what God told Samuel. And that's what it was about. And so we need to focus on staying where we need to be as a church, not infiltrated by thoughts and actions from the world. They'll drag a bunch of filth in here. Amen. They'll bring a bunch of hard feelings and this and that all about it. You know, I'd advise you, if you're hunting a perfect church, go somewhere else. Some of them saying, I can't believe my pastor said that. I did, and I meant it. You know what? If you're hunting a perfect church, this is not it. We don't have perfection in this church because we're imperfect people on the way to perfection. Now, if we'll gather this group together after the resurrection, we'll have a perfect church. Amen. Amen. But until that point, everybody here's got problems. I hope everybody's in agreement with that. I got problems, you got problems. The whole world, the whole thing's got problems. But we want to be careful and guard against letting our feelings dominate what we do in the church. These children of Israel made a mistake. They let their feelings, they let their desires, they let their wants dominate God's people. You see what I'm saying? And we got to be careful to guard from that. It can't be about our wants or our desire. It needs to be of God. If they'd listen to God, he warned them. If they'd listen to God, they said, oh, well, we're doing pretty good. Let's just go ahead and let God control it. That's where we need to be today. Let's let God control it. Every thought and everything in your life. I don't know everybody's thoughts and mind. I don't have any way of knowing that, but God knows everybody here. He knows what you're up against. He knows what you're facing. He knew what you was facing when you walked in here, and he knows if you're going to let it stay here and you leave without it. I got a few things I'm going to leave here. When I leave this morning, I'm going to leave a few things here. I've had a little frustration, a little aggravation, a little this, a little that, and I'm going to leave it here this morning. I don't want it in my house. You know why I'm going to leave it up here? Because God will clean it up. Bonzell thinks she got a good vacuum cleaner. I'm telling you, God can clean it up. God can clean it up, whatever it is, whatever you leave here. I'm gonna tell you, don't take garbage out of here with you. Leave it here. God will clean it up. God can handle it every time. All right. I think I'm finished. Y'all feel like seeing something, Shane? Where's she at? I see her. I'm asking for a song. Y'all want to sing a song? Your choice. These ladies are going to come sing a song. And if you had problems turning loose and you need a little prayer time, maybe in this altar, you can contact God where you're at. Sometimes I have to get to the altar because if I'm in the bench, you know, it seems like too much distracts me sometimes. But if you need to pray and something you need to leave behind or something just turn loose from it, let God handle it, you come pray. You won't bother these ladies a bit. You won't bother me either. there's a need in this church today that we pray and turn things loose and let it go and move ahead for the cause and for the cause of God. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come this morning in a way, Father, even heartbroken, but God, you know what here this morning. Continue to pray for a church. Continue to pray for a service tonight. We're going to meet here again tonight, Lord willing, and we're going to come to worship and praise Him as an almighty God. I'm telling you, He's got it. We don't, you know, a lot of times. And He'll clean up all this trash. Don't worry about it. He'll get it out of the way. And so we'll just meet back and rejoice and worship and praise Him. All right, everybody stand. We'll be dismissed. Getting you out to an early lunch. Is it early?